It's the Broadway Hour. I'm Larry Sutton of the New York Daily News. Join me for an inside look at New York's music and theater scene tonight. From Blood Brothers, one of the great hits of Broadway, one of the great singers, Helen Reddy, is here. And she'll tell us all about taking over the lead role in one of the most exciting dramas and musicals on Broadway. And a little later on, Barbara Feldon will drop by to tell us about Love for Better or Verse. Her new show just opened the other night at the theater at St. Peter's on East 54th Street. And if you want music, well, we've got a lot of music here this week. David Stoller, Tom Anderson, and Philip Officer will give us a preview of their Boys Night Out show at the 92nd Street Y. Producer Peter Laghetti is here as well to tell us all about the problems that guys have in a girl singing world, or at least that's what they claim. And we'll hear from Frederick Vogel of the Commercial Theater Institute, and there's more, much more. We've got the latest news of the Great White Way on our Broadway update, and stick around for the Broadway Hour Trivia Contest, where you'll win a chance, or at least have a chance, to win tickets to a great show and dinner for two right here at the Sheraton New York Hotel. If you are an expert on the history of Broadway, so get a pencil and paper ready, and we'll tell you how to enter a little later on. So now on with our show, our producer, Kate McGrath, our engineer, Chris Friedfeldt, are ready to roll. First up, with Dick Gallagher at the piano, as promised, David Stoller is here, and he's going to sing us a number, and we'll be talking about the problems of guys singing as soon as he finishes this. David?
I still can't forget I was a fool to let you go. And after I've closed the bar with the boys, oh, I can't stand the drinks and I can't stand the noise. When I know I'll be back, there's no other choice. I know I was a fool to let you go. I was a fool to think that I could sleep a wink in that big empty bed by myself. And I was a fool to wait until it was too late to tell you just how I felt. And after I'd been with somebody new, and she knows what to say, oh, but not what to do, then I know what I've lost. And I know it's so true when I see what it costs.
That was David Stoller. David Stoller with Dick Gallagher at the piano. And if you want to hear David Stoller, and if you want to hear Phil Officer and Tom Anderson, they'll all be performing at a show called Cabaret Nights, Boys Night Out at the 92nd Street Y on Saturday, February 25th, 8 o'clock is the time. And the reason I have all these guys here, they're all surrounding me along with their the producer of the series, Peter Laghetti, is because they say there's a problem for male cabaret singers getting work. How much of a problem? Since you just sang, you tell us, David,
well,
what the problem is.
I have to confess, I'm not feeling it today because Dick and I just found out we're going to be singing at Rainbow and Stars for
The
month of April.
Next, we'll bring on next guest.
But generally, it's unusual. I mean, we're only doing it because Sybil Shepherd dropped out, so I'm sort of her understudy. So you see, they didn't want a man at first. But yeah, I guess it's sort of a problem. And I think we all have a sort of feeling about this. I think it's because people have a tendency to think of women in cabaret immediately more than men, partly because of the way we view romance and sex in our culture.
But don't you think this is the opposite of how it is in just about everywhere else in the world where guys seem to have the advantage? I mean, basically, guys have had thousands of years of history to...
Well, you know, it's funny you should mention that.
Yeah.
I haven't thought of it, but it's perhaps we should do something about that. So that's why Peter asked us. It'll be not just the three of us here today, but also Jeff Harnar will be the fourth of us guys who will be championing men in cabaret.
And I have to tell our listeners, too, that throughout the show, we'll also be hearing from Phil Officer and Tom Anderson as well. But since we got the brains of the outfit, the guy who's the producer of the series, Peter Ligeti here. Ligeti. Well, Ligeti, Ligeti, you say Ligeti, I say Ligeti. Ligeti. How did you get all these guys together for one show?
Well, I have to say that it was one of your associates from the Daily News, Wenbin Wong. Mm-hmm. This series, this particular show, was inspired by an article entitled "Boys' Night Out" that was written by Wenbin Wong from the Daily News, who spoke about the problem of cabaret being dominated by the ladies. And so I thought, well, let's take a contrary view to that, or a contrarian view, and let's bring on the woman that he spoke about. And so I created this evening, and then the Y, of course, is my partner with me. That is going to be at the 92nd Street Y on Saturday, February 25th. So please, we look forward to everybody attending.
Oh, all right. Let me ask Phil and Tom, are there enough venues for you people to play? Cabaret seems to be having a little bit of a renaissance, but are there enough clubs in town that to accommodate you?
Well, I think, yeah, there are. There's many, many down in the village. Mm-hmm. There, of course, is the Algonquin
right
here in Midtown. There's plenty. I think New York is certainly the center of the cabaret world.
Mm-hmm. And where's your audience coming from? What types of people show up?
It's
besides relatives.
Very, very good question. I'm amazed that people come out from everywhere. I don't know who they are, but there is such a great interest in it. I mean,
people want it.
Also, I'm curious about how you got into this field as well, too. I mean, where do you... there's obviously a whole slew of great tunes that have been written in the 30s, 40s, 50s, and so on. And you folks sing some modern songs as well, too.
Tom is a songwriter, too, as Dick Gallagher is. And so it's not just... We don't just sing what would be called just the classic American songbook, which is part of our responsibility, I think. It's to entertain people with our song heritage. But we've also got some wonderful new songwriters. And cabaret is very often their only venue to be heard.
But it is expanding. I mean, it really is expanding. So people go to a cabaret and they can see a variety of different artists doing all sorts of different things, which is great about it.
Do you find it serves as a showcase for a lot of guys who want to break into Broadway, say, and they've got the voice, but the producers don't really give you that much of a look over at an audition? David's giving me one of these looks like, nah.
No, I really see cabaret as an independent art form. I've been on Broadway and I've acted on TV and we all do other things, but I don't see cabaret as a showcase for something else.
Yeah.
I really see it as an entity unto itself, and I think it's great. And it can be so many different things. It can be in a little room. It can be in a great big theater. It can be any number of things. And so this really is going to be cabaret in a theater.
I see. Yes.
Cabaret now is really enlarging its audience. I produce cabaret actually all over the world, and we've found now that... the audience, as typified here by the Y, that which holds 940 seats, and it will be packed.
Yeah.
So we have theaters. What we're finding is that cabaret, in the traditional cabaret sense, in the small rooms, food, drink, and cover charges, is not exactly where it wants to go across the country. It wants to go into cabaret concerts in larger venues, and also into Lort theaters, which are resident type theaters, which have more of a traditional subscription audience.
I see. Where else is it big besides New York?
Well, I have a theater in St. Louis, the Grandel, which is a fabulous 540-seat theater. I'm working now with the Kravis Center down into Florida and also in Clearwater, Ruth Eckert Hall.
These are not New Yorkers who have just escaped to the rest of the nation and
Also the Spoleto, the famous Spoleto Festival. Mm-hmm. I'm the producer there for all the cabaret. Mm-hmm. And we also provide a tremendous amount of the star artists for the Cunard Line, as well as Hall in America, but Cunard specifically. We do a lot of the crossings on the QE2.
All right. Now, I have to be remiss here because we're leaving out poor Tom Anderson here, who everyone's pointing to and saying, make this guy talk.
That's Philip Officer. And
well,
I
that's
just
why
pointed,
I left him out. Because I
just pointed the phone number to him so he could tell everyone
exactly
what number
right, we'll
to call
that
for the box office.
All right, so then, Phil, you tell us, too. If people are interested in seeing the show, then where should they go? Who should they see?
Well, you should call the 92nd Street Y ticket office, and that number they're putting it in front of me is 996- 1100.
Okay, and again, the show is called Boys Night Out at the 92nd Street Y. The date is Saturday, February 25th. And throughout the show here, Phil and Tom have been kind enough to join David in a song. So we'll be hearing from them as the song goes on, as the show goes on. And I'd like to thank you for joining us right here, and remind everyone again, 92nd Street Y, Saturday, February 25th. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. And coming up on the Broadway Hour, Helen Reddy is coming up next. You got to stick around for that. And as promised, back here on the Broadway Hour, right here in the same Sheraton Hotel we were just plugging in their advertisement, Helen Reddy. Helen, thank you so much for joining us here.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure. And Helen, of course, has joined the cast of Blood Brothers, which I have to say I haven't seen Helen in it just yet, but I saw it a while back. It is very dramatic, it's very moving, and it's got great pop songs, which is, I think, a good thing, don't you?
I think it's a wonderful show. It has a great score, mm-hmm. and it's a very exciting piece to do
yeah.
as an actor. I mean, you know, at the end of the evening, I am really drained emotionally.
It's got to be. Not only you, but the audience, too. You know, we were just teasing here because Dick Oliver, one of our reporter friends, is quoted on the billboard outside of the theater saying, I stood, I applauded, I cried, I left. But, you know, people do that, don't they?
Yes, yeah, I think you get the full gamut of emotions in this show. You laugh, you cry, it's all there. And, of course, playing the part of Mrs. Johnston is wonderful. I feel like I spent my whole life getting ready for this role.
Now, how did they lure you into something like this? You have more of a background as a singer, as one of the great recording artists. Yeah.
I started out in theater. I am third generation show business, so I do have that background.
Well, tell us about the other generations. I'm always curious about that.
Well, my parents, my father was a writer, actor, producer. My uh-huh. mother was a singer, actor. And three of my grandparents were also in the business. So,
now that helped or hurt you when you were a kid? A lot of pressure there with the family and the business?
Well, I don't remember the first time that I went out on stage.
Really?
It's past the point where I can remember. So it was something that was decided for me. Yeah, it has worked out very well, actually, I would have to say. But I was set to go to London. I was opening in London on the 28th of December for 3 weeks in my own show. And I got a call, would I do Blood right. Brothers here on Broadway? So I agreed, and instead of packing for 3 weeks, I found myself packing for 6 months. What I did was I rehearsed with the London cast mm-hmm. during the day, did my own show at night, and closed there on the 14th, left on the 15th, and opened here on the 17th.
That's a lot of work, but it's paying off, though.
Yeah, it was a challenge, yeah. but I knew I could do it. And, mm-hmm. Of course, I've had a great deal of help from a wonderful cast and crew here mm-hmm. at the Music Box Theater. Everybody was just so supportive. Mm-hmm. And I really love being part of the New York theater scene. I find it's very much a family. It really
do
is.
Do you mingle around? I mean, do you, after the show's over, does the cast go and hang out with the cast of some of the other shows? I mean, is there much of that?
We kind of all get together on that Wednesday at Sardi's, yeah. you know, that's very much an actor's hang.
Uh-huh. And see, this is something that I think people think went out years ago. It's like, oh, that only happened in the movies of the 30s or something like that. But it is a pretty lively group that gets together there, huh?
Yes, it is.
You know, I was curious, I was mentioning too earlier, just the songs in Blood Brothers. Unlike many of the other songs on Broadway, they're compact, they're short, they're hummable, they're like pop tunes, and I think people leave the theater singing, you know, which is for musicals very odd these days.
This is true. They do have hooks, as we say in the music business, and also they're really well integrated into the action of the show. Mm-hmm. You don't get that feeling of, oh, here comes a song.
Right,
you know,
right.
it is very much a part of the storyline.
And yet, even though for a musical, it's got a lot of drama, but I mean, it really punches right in there. It's a very dramatic mm-hmm. Thing. And I know when I went to see Blood Brothers that the people in the audience were not exaggerating about the tears and shouts. You really get hooked into mm-hmm. this storyline as well. Do people come to you backstage after the show is over and give their opinions, their comments on what it's done to them?
Yes, yeah. you know, yes. And I would have to say that Mrs. Johnston is really a strong and invincible woman.
Well, who better to play it than Helen Reddy? I know that you lived in New York City for a while back years ago, but do you spend much time here now before this show went on?
No, I very rarely get to come to New York, so this this has been a lot of fun. I've been able to renew acquaintances with people I haven't seen in a long time. Mm-hmm. And, well, I lived here in 1966-67, so yeah. That is not recently.
The glory years.
Yeah, so things have changed, but it's still a very exciting city. Great restaurants, mm-hmm. and there's that pulse, there's that beat, you know, when you walk down the street.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I have to tell our listeners that before I came over here, I was in the Daily News library going through the Helen Reddy clips. We have files on everyone back there. It's sort of like a uh-huh. mini CIA, I think.
I see.
But the one thing I chat with you for a second before the show that was I had totally forgotten was your involvement in government and politics, and that you had been the Parks Commissioner of the state of California. How did that come about? Who asked you to do that?
Jerry Brown, uh-huh. who was governor at the time.
And did you find that a rewarding job? Was that...
I found it a very frustrating job, yeah. actually, uh-huh. because, you know, when you're outside government, you tend to think, well, if I was in that position, I'd do this, that, and the other thing. Mm-hmm. And then you get into that position, and you find that there is an enormous amount of red tape that you have to wade through. Mm-hmm. And while it only takes one person to say no, you've got to get about 9 people to say yes mm-hmm. to get anything done. So it was an eye-opener for me. And of course, the difficult thing is because things take so long to come into effect, that stuff that you work on doesn't really happen until after you have left office.
Yeah.
And while you
are
in
office, someone else takes the credit.
Well, yeah, but you can take the credit for what someone else has done too. So
that's
true. You know, it does work out that way.
And you know, too, I was looking back through some of the clips there. And noted that you had supported Bill Clinton when he was running for president based on the fact, I think, maybe, this is a quote I read in the paper, you tell me if it's right or if it's wrong, based on you thought Hillary would do a good job. Does that still hold? Or maybe
well,
this
actually,
is one of those things we read and aren't true.
I didn't campaign uh-huh. or contribute any money, I must uh-huh. confess, but I did vote for Al Gore.
Oh, well, all right. And he's doing a wonderful job, isn't he?
I like him. I read his book, and I thought he had some good ideas.
No, actually, I do, too. You know, it's funny. I worked down in Washington for about a couple of months last year, and I had the opportunity to see Gore speak at a number of different functions, including going to the Pentagon and telling all the bureaucrats, guys, I'm sorry, but half of you are going to have to be gone. Now, they aren't mm-hmm. gone just yet, but at least I think his heart is in the right place, sort of mm-hmm. making the government a little smaller. And he is committed to environmental issues, which
very
you don't
much
see,
so.
Which you don't
I think
see
he,
a lot of.
I think he has a very good overview of the problem, and he does think globally, which mm-hmm. is how I think all politicians have to think nowadays.
I see. What do you do in your spare time when you're finished with, if you have spare time? This is a good question because it's such a demanding role that you got there at Blood Brothers. But you mentioned you get around New York a little bit. Do you get a chance? I know with the schedule, it's probably impossible to see other plays, but
no,
what,
I haven't been
else?
Able to see any other shows uh-huh. as yet.
Yeah.
Something I do in my spare time, what little I have, is I am working on a one-woman show of my own, which would be a theatrical presentation. It'll be about another year before I can mount it, but...
All right. Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll take a little break right here. We'll be back with Helen Reddy just for a few more moments. She can tell us a little bit about that show, and then, as we've promised, we've got more to go here on the Broadway Hour on AM 93 WPAT, and we'll be back right after this.
And say, isn't Rosemary Clooney on the program tonight?
Certainly.
Well, where is she? Come up with it. Come
easy,
up with
easy
it.
Easy now. Remember your dizzy spell.
Don't be such a hoarder. Bring Rosemary on.
Okay. Rosemary.
Yes, Bing?
Sophisticated.
They don't believe it. We can't believe it. Even she can't believe it. It's Rosemary Clooney's 50th year in showbiz, so she's back to celebrate her big anniversary. Where else? At Rainbow and Stars atop Rockefeller Center. Happy 50th, Rosie.
50 years, that's a lot of songs and a lot of eighth notes. So I'm packing a lot of years into every night up at Rainbow and Stars. You know, this is my 7th engagement at Rainbow and Stars with its fabulous views, its fantastic audiences. So I feel right at home here. And my house is your house. I'm singing a lot of your favorites and a lot of mine. So come on up.
The great Rosemary Clooney at Rainbow and Stars. Call 632-5000.
That's a nice.
And we are back here on the Broadway Hour, and I've just frightened everyone in the Sheraton Hotel with a booming voice right there. But we are on AM 93 WPAT, and our guest is Helen Reddy, the star of Blood Brothers, which I should remind you, if you haven't seen just yet, the Music Box Theater on West 45th Street, pardon me. If you have seen it, go back and see it another time, because now Helen's in it. It's totally different, isn't
That's
it?
That's right. We've got a new narrator, too. Dominic Allen is uh-huh. on the show now, and he's wonderful. We're all thrilled with him.
Do you find that it takes a long time to get acclimated to a new group of actors? represent. In other words, you're coming in, and maybe perhaps some of the other folks have been in the show for a couple of months, maybe even a couple of years since it's run so long in England before. Does it?
Well, it tends to sort of goose everyone up a little bit. I think when a new player comes in, it's like bringing in a new player into a band. Everybody kind of plays up, you know.
And it works, obviously,
because
the crowd's there. And just to finish up, too, you know, you mentioned earlier that you were doing a one-woman show. Will you be touring the country with that, or sticking to the big cities, or what are your plans?
Well, I haven't even decided where I'm going to open it yet, either New York or London. But I gotta finish working on it first.
Okay.
And.
And you've got these 6 months in Blood Brothers. We're not
going to
let you
sneak
out of that.
Blood Brothers at the Music Box Theater.
All right. So with that plug, we're going to thank Helen Reddy so much for being here and joining us. Again, Helen Reddy is in Blood Brothers Music Box Theater, West 45th Street. Run on over and see it because it's got great music, a great plot, and just like it says outside, you'll stand, you'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll do all that stuff, and you'll have a good time. Helen, thank you so much for being
here. Thanks for having me.
And as we promised here on the Broadway Hour, we have lots of music for you here. In fact, we were chatting a little while earlier with Phil Officer, who was one of the folks who is going to be performing at Boys Night Out at the 92nd Street Y. And right now, with Dick Gallagher at the piano, Philip Officer will be singing for us. Phil?
I have a feeling that beneath that little halo on your noble head, there lies a thought or two the devil might be interested to know. You're like the finish of a novel that I finally have to take to bed. You fascinate me so. I feel like Christopher Columbus when I'm near enough to contemplate the sweet geography descending from your eyebrows to your toes. The possibilities are more than I can possibly enumerate. That's why you fascinate me so. Sermonize and preach to me. Make your sanctimonious little speech to me. But oh, my darling, you'll forgive my inability to concentrate. I think I'm dealing with a powder keg that's just about to blow. Will the end result deflate me, or will you annihilate me? You irritate me. You aggravate me. You fascinate me. So
that was Phil Officer.
Dick Gallagher on piano.
And Phil Officer's voice there again. The 92nd Street Y, Saturday, February 25th, Boys Night Out. You'll catch David, you'll catch Philip, you'll catch Tom Anderson, who's coming on up. We are here on the Broadway Hour coming up in just 1 second. We'll be chatting with the great Barbara Feldon is here because she's opening up in a great show of poetry, of prose, of verse, of
music,
of all that kind of stuff. So let me just read one quick commercial and we'll find out all about that. And now, as promised, right here, Barbara Feldon. Barbara, welcome to the Broadway Hour.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
And you've got a great show that's just, I believe, last night was the opening night. Opening night, and it is called Love for Better or for Verse. The York Theatre Company is putting it on, am I correct?
York Theatre Company,
so far, so good. At the Theatre of St. Peter's Church, that's over on Lexington 54th.
54th.
And it sounds very interesting because you're doing a little, well, you tell us, you're in the show, you
well,
know.
It's, I tell you, it's a very intimate evening, talking and singing and reading about love. And all the different aspects of love, romantic love. There's very, very romantic parts of early love, the first boyfriend and the walk in the moonlight in your prom dress. There are lessons on how to wreck love.
Lessons?
Can you contribute any? Maybe you can.
My life, my history. I'll give it all
together.
Everyone
has some little story that they can contribute to this. How to survive. There are parts of devoted love, mm-hmm. and a lot of satire about love, because after all, romance is something that we invent pretty much in our heads to a great
I think
extent.
That's where it is. It's all up there, despite what we read in all these terrible publications and magazines that we see on the newsstands.
That's right.
But what's interesting, you've taken some, it's a wild mix of, you've got the poetry of Yeats in the show, right? You've got a little Stephen Sondheim, you got a little Hammerstein, you got a little everything there.
Yeah, it's a collection of things that I absolutely love. I mean, there's not one thing in the program that I don't absolutely love. For years, I'm an addicted reader, and I have collected some of the most ravishing love poetry, things that most people wouldn't have the patience to slog through thousands of pages of poetry to find, and I do, and find them, and then I want to share them. And so this is my opportunity to do that. I've been putting the show together for about 3 years now, and the joy for me of doing it is that when people come in, and I'm backstage, and I look out, and I see the people settling in their seats, and I think, oh, you're going to have such a great time hearing this. I can't wait to give it to you.
Uh-huh. You know, I was looking at some of the clips in the old Daily News libraries I was chatting with Helen about, and I came across some Barbara Feldman clips, and I saw a great picture of you in a bookstore, it looked like, surrounded by books, and just a little short article saying that that's how you spend your spare time. You're in bookstores all over Manhattan looking for, I guess, great bits of literature like this, huh?
Yes, well, when I was a little girl, I guess I escaped into books a lot,
or
I was alone a great deal, and so I would just live through books. And I think a lot of people do. I think that especially those first early experiences, and I talk about that, the woman Rita Kerlin, my mother's best friend, who brought my sister and me books. And the first books were Pinocchio and The Five Little Peppers and How They Grew. And how you just enter that world. Mm-hmm. And that's what we've tried to create in the show, the set with the set and the lighting. And the music goes under almost everything, even when I'm talking about early reading experiences and so forth.
Where did you grow up when you got
Pittsburgh.
Into books? In Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Good libraries in Pittsburgh?
Yeah. Mostly I depended on people giving me books as a kid. Uh-huh. But we lived in various areas around Pittsburgh. And
I see. Yeah. And now you've had, I know, a lot of experience in some off-Broadway shows as well, but is this really the first show where you are center stage? Everything is on your shoulders, I suppose.
And you would think it's sort of, on one hand, it seems like a rather arrogant thing to do, except that it's not me up there, I feel that it's just me being this vessel for taking care of the audience and having them have it. I'd like them to take their shoes off and lean back and close their eyes and just let me read to them and sing to them and take care of them and
now that's
sort
easy
of
for you to
pat
say, but
them.
We have to sit next to these guys with their shoes off.
Oh, that's true.
We're talking here with Barbara Feldman. The show is called Love with an exclamation point for better or verse.
And verse.
And why?
Yeah,
man.
It used to be better and worse. But then we changed it to verse.
Come on, let me just cross this out in my thing right here. Now I'll get it right from that one. But it's playing over at the St. Peter's Church, the theater. They've got a tremendous theater there. I've seen a lot of jazz shows there and a lot of
it's a wonderful theater.
Oh, sure.
You know, a lot of people don't know about it. You go down the elevator when you go into St. Peter's Church, and there is this absolutely charming little theater.
Mm-hmm.
And it's perfect for our show because it's like a little box, and there we are all together.
All right, well, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back, and we'll talk a little bit more with Barbara Feldman. And now that I have the title correct, and I won't screw it up, Love for Better and Verse, over at the St. Peter's Church on Lexington 54th. But we'll return in just a minute to the Broadway Hour. And we are back here on WPAT 93, and we are chatting with Barbara Feldman. I was just telling her what I do over at the Daily News, which is a little politics, a little crime, a little very depressing these days. So I come here, and I meet people like Barbara, and you find great singers like the singers we've had from the 92nd Street Y and Helen Reddy here, and you get upbeat, and you get happy. That's what New York's all about, isn't
it? Well, and going to see them, too, is an escape from, I mean, the world is not always the most pleasant place.
Yeah.
And to be able to go into a theater and to just escape and be in another world for that hour and a half or 2 hours is just an extraordinary treat.
Mm-hmm. Now, we've got to ask you a little bit about yourself, too. You know, I've seen you. You're a New Yorker. I mean, you've been around New York for...
Oh, I love New York so much. I wanted to be a New Yorker from the time I was in Pittsburgh, and I saw my first Life magazine article that talked about New York and showed pictures of New York, and I knew that I was meant to have been born in New York, and I got here the minute I got out of college.
This is what we need, a little boosterism every now and then. Now, what would you say to someone? You know, I've got a lot of friends, and they go, I like it, but it's a little too hectic.
Oh, I see nothing wrong with New York. I mean, I'm one of these people that people complain and say, I'm moving out to the burbs or whatever. Right. I said, what's the matter with this? This is, look at this. Look at the architecture. All these old buildings, even the old tenement buildings, are beautiful. They have texture. There's a patina to them. They grew there like mushrooms or something. I mean, they grew like old trees. They have like bark on the outside of them. It's such an organic place.
Well, that's what I say, too. It's a place you can walk, which is the number one thing for me.
Yeah.
Because you do get to soak it all in as you walk along. Yeah, that's true.
Somebody, I once read an article in the New York Times, so it must be true,
it's
right?
It's got to be. They never lie.
That said that the brain grows by surprises. Uh-huh. And that what happens is your brain gets a little shock of something novel.
Right.
And then a little mouth opens in your brain and grabs off an enzyme and sprouts a branch that they can actually measure.
Hmm.
So that the more surprises we have, the more our brains are growing. And I think this is really true.
That's why we are smarter than other people.
Well, it's why we're more stimulated, certainly.
Uh-huh.
Every day there's a surprise. Oh. Every day.
Now, since you're talking about brains, it just occurred to me, I was reading the paper this morning, perhaps you saw the story, a new study on brains that says that men only use a little tiny portion of one side of the brain, and women use both sides and are probably a lot smarter than guys. Do you believe that?
Well, you know, I was just reading that in the cab. I didn't get through the whole article. It's interesting. The thing I got out of it, I didn't read that far, but was that men's brains and women's brains actually work differently.
Yes. Yeah.
And this makes sense. Because I think that we are different species.
Oh, yeah.
There's the male species and the female species. And women understand each other.
That's,
I mean,
so,
there's a natural sympathy, immediate intimacy between women.
Mm-hmm.
And men are like strangers in this, but very essential ones.
Well, that's what we like to hear. But we know we aren't as smart, but we're trying. So we're out there. Barbara, too, I want to ask, of course, everyone knows Barbara's background. Barbara was perhaps one of the first... supermodels, I guess, to get into acting. I mean, you had a career as a showgirl. To use that phrase probably sounds sexist these days.
Oh,
so
no,
I apologize.
That was my favorite job in my whole life.
Now, tell us a little bit about that, because, I mean, you don't see much. You see, like, the chorus people who work on the Broadway shows, but showgirls, I guess, it's more of a Las Vegas
thing. Oh, it's such an old-fashioned
thing. Yeah, but
I mean,
love
this
that
was
name.
Years ago when I first got out of college, and I was a showgirl in a Broadway musical.
Yeah.
And I walked it down a staircase with this huge headdress that was like the Tower of Pisa, and it had all lit up, and it was all sparkling lit up. And I had these spike heels on, and the staircase was, the stairs were very, very narrow.
Mm-hmm.
And I got down, and I was very nearsighted, and I tripped, and my headdress fell toward the audience. The whole audience went, like that as the sparkling thing fell. I grabbed it. They were hysterical. The audience was hysterical. And I couldn't understand why, and the dancers were laughing, and nobody was dancing, and they were just staring at me. I had put this huge falsie on my head to pad the headdress. And so I was just standing there displaying this on top of my head.
And, you know, now people pay good money to see stuff like that. So
that's
you were ahead of your time.
Right. Somebody who used that in a show deliberately.
And, of course, we'd be remiss if not mentioning your great role as Agent 99, which so many people remember you for it. And we only bring it up because Agent 99 is back again. So, well, look at these fans out there, I tell you.
Not that.
See, now here you are. You're doing Love for Better and Verse, great works, the poetry of Yeats, E. Cummings. We say 99 people applause. Well, what accounts for that?
Well, how fortunate, because if it weren't for Agent 99, I would not have the opportunity to do this program that I love doing so much.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the great pieces of good fortune in doing a series that's successful, is that it gives you the visibility that people are willing to take a chance and come and see something that you think is worth seeing.
Well, then that's good. So then we're going to encourage everyone, once again, giving you the correct title this time. We're not going to screw around this time. Love for Better and Verse. The York Theater Company is presenting it. It's at the theater at St. Peter's Church on Lexington 54th. It stars Barbara Feldon with a look at love, a satirical look, she promises, a dramatic look, a romantic look, all sorts of looks, I suppose, of love. And it is playing there nightly, so run on over to St. Peter's Theater.
Through the 26th of February.
Through the 26th of February. And see Barbara Feldon. Barbara, thank you so much for joining us here.
Thank you. It was
really
my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Barbara Feldon.
Thank you.
And we'll be back here on the Broadway Hour in just one moment. But of course, we've got coming up our Broadway update and our Broadway trivia. And a reminder that the Broadway update is brought to you by the Theater Development Fund. We'll tell you that tonight is the opening night for Camping with Henry and Tom, Mark St. Germain's new play about the lives of Henry Ford and Thomas Edison. The festivities begin just about now at the Lucille Lortel Theater on Christopher Street. Betty Buckley has signed to replace Glenn Close in Sunset Boulevard. She joins the cast July 4th, right here on Broadway. And they've set a new date for Victor Victoria, the Julie Andrews musical, once skidded for this spring. The producers are now saying that the show will open October 18th. And a reminder, if you want to catch up with the latest news on Broadway, pick up a copy of Theater Week every week at your local newsstand. Time for the Broadway Hour Trivia Contest. The winner of this week's trivia contest gets two tickets to a great show, Dinner for Two, right here at the Sheraton New York Hotel and Towers. And here's the question, so get your pencils and paper ready. David Mamet has a new one-act play opening at the Variety Arts Theater this month. His last show, Oleana, had a cast of only two actors when it opened at the Orpheum Theater on 2nd Avenue. Tell us who they were. Now, it's a few years back. The play was called Oleana. It was later made into a movie. But it had two actors, an actor and an actress, right here when it played at the Orpheum. You tell us who it is. If you know, you write us at the Broadway Hour, WPAT, 1396 Broad Street, Clifton, New Jersey, 07013. Now, last week, the question was, since we made so much of one of our guests, Shanice, having only one name, we asked to tell us the name of another one-name singer who played on Broadway at the L'Enfantin Theater in Threepenny Opera in 1989. And Cheryl Finkelstein of Hop Hog knew the answer. The answer, of course, being Sting. So congratulations, Cheryl. You win two tickets to a great show and Dinner for Two right here at the Sheraton. And as we mentioned before, the Broadway Hour Trivia Contest and the Broadway Hour Update are brought to you by the Theater Development Fund. Now, here on the Broadway Hour, coming up, we have got with us Frederick Vogel. Frederick is with the Commercial Theater Institute. And we want to just tell you a little bit about the Theater Development Fund before we get to him. So stick around, and we'll be right back with Frederick Vogel. And we are back here on the Broadway Hour, AM 93 WPAT. My name is Larry Sutton, and as promised, Frederick Vogel is right here by my side. Frederick from the Commercial Theater Institute, and they have got a great three-day program coming up a little later on this spring in April. And why should I tell you about it when Frederick knows everything there is? So Frederick, okay. What's going?
Well, it's for all those people that who go to a show and say, I could produce better, or I want to produce as good as. So the three-day seminar, workshop, whatever, Commercial Theater Institute is April 28, 29, 30. Mm-hmm. And there are roughly 18 speakers, entertainment attorney, general manager does a budget analysis, and there are a couple of panels of producers. And we do case histories of Broadway and off-Broadway shows.
Now, are you looking for the producers of tomorrow? Is that
yes,
it?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yes, there are people who want to produce, and a lot of people are embarrassed because they don't want to ask stupid, what they consider to be stupid questions. But the only stupid question is the one you don't ask. And it's the freedom that the participants have to ask questions of the speakers. Mm-hmm. So what the program is designed to do is sort of help you form your questions, provide some answers, and in some cases scare the devil out of you. So you do go do what mom and pop want you to do. You go into medicine or real estate.
Or where the real money is.
Yeah, real money. But interestingly enough, a very famous playwright said the theater is a place where you don't make a living, you make a killing. Mm-hmm. And certainly there are certain producers who have produced one show out of 7 or 8 or 10, the rest losing money, and one of them makes enough money
to make up for all the flops here and there. Well, do you think the great era of, I guess, larger-than-life producers is over now? I think of the David Merricks, and you think of these people who knew what they were doing. They really had a lot of talent, and they were nuts, too, on top of it.
Well, certainly that, perhaps that kind of individual. But Cameron McIntosh is certainly young, very young, has three major shows running, and he's going to come back, and he's a classy producer, mm-hmm. and is larger than life, but does it in a very understated way. Maybe we'll never see another Flo Ziegfeld or David Merrick, but we could see some 1990s adaptation or 21st century adaptation of that. Mm-hmm. I think that the theater is full of surprises. Barbara Feldon was talking about the brain gets grows with surprises. And I think there's going to be somebody. There always has been.
Is there an easy ladder for people to work on? I mean, when I started at the newspaper, you could start as I did as a copy boy and then work your way up a little bit to the next level and the next level. Can you do that being a producer? Or
No, it used to be that. Uh-huh. Hal Prince was an assistant stage manager under George Abbott.
Right.
The great George Abbott. And Kermit Blumgarden was the stage manager for Herman Shumlin. Today, you can start anywhere. That's one of the reasons I wanted to do this program, because what you need is drive and guts, and you don't know the meaning of the word no.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's the last bastion of total entrepreneurialism.
I see. We should mention some of the names of the people that you'll have there. Grove, who was a guest on our show a while back, is there. Why don't you tell us?
Okay. There are two attorneys, mm-hmm. Nancy Rose, who is an entertainment attorney, who oddly enough is a graduate of the program 13 years ago, mm-hmm. and Lauren Plotkin, and they'll do whatever the legal steps are of obtaining rights to a property. Then we do a general manager's and a budget analysis, and we'll take an actual budget and go over it, and a man named Roger Gindy, who's general managing Nonsense and did Cover of Life, mm-hmm. a play that I produced last fall.
Is it easy to get these guys to come and talk to the kids?
As a matter of fact, it is,
yeah.
Because this program really represents the industry, and all of these people are working professionals, and they're concerned about the health of the industry.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to do it because they feel a responsibility to the profession. And I've only had, I think, one person in 13 years ever turned me down. And
did they have a good excuse?
Yeah, yeah,
good.
Yeah, really good. And then we have two panels with producers of shows like Kentucky Cycle, Twilight mm-hmm. LA, Love, Valor, Compassion, All in the Timing, Christmas Carol, What's Wrong with This Picture on the Waterfront, which is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So we have different producers who are going to talk about, from their vantage point, what it is to produce in the commercial theater, Broadway or off-Broadway.
I see.
So we talk about obtaining investment capital.
And that's the key. Where's the money? Where do you find the money?
The money is out there.
Mm-hmm.
And the best way to raise money is you ask for it.
Now, that's
I mean,
simple.
Believe
that's
it or not,
simple
it's
to say.
Simple.
But now if I hit you up, what are you going to give
well,
me?
Well, I don't know. Tell me what the project is.
Uh-huh.
I may not have it in my pocket,
right, right.
But I may say, come on, why don't we go to see so-and-so?
Mm-hmm.
I raise money. I never knew that I could raise money. And I had lots of friends who said, why don't you call so-and-so? Or they set up a lunch meeting.
Yeah.
There are people who are interested in taking a gamble. So they invest in a lot of things. They invest in your sense, in your responsibility, mm-hmm. in your imagination. I had someone invest in a play that I did because the play was about the plight of women's equality.
Mm-hmm.
Someone believed in this issue. Sometimes you don't need an issue. It may be just a fun and glamorous TNA show.
Right.
You know?
That's what I would be investing in.
Well, that's fine. That's fine. Then you want to do that.
Yeah.
But you look at any number of things. Everybody invests for a highly subjective reason.
All right. And if you want to find out, if you've got a reason, a great reason to invest, then perhaps you maybe want to find some young producer who will help you out. Frederick Vogel was with the Commercial Theater Institute. And again, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, April 28th, 29th, 30th. How do people find out about this?
Okay. 212-586-1109.
Okay.
Again, 212-586-1109. I should real fast mention the program is subsidized by TDF, the Theater Development Fund, mm-hmm. and the League of American Theaters and Producers, which is the association, the trade association of the producers and theater owners in all over the United States.
Okay, and if you're interested, and if you forgot that phone number, which you shouldn't because you've got a great business mind, that's why you want to be a producer, will you just write us a note here at the Broadway Hour and we'll get it to Frederick Vogel and make sure he gets it.
Okay, 212-586-1109.
Well, Frederick Vogel, thank you so much for joining
Thanks
us here
very
on Broadway.
Much.
That's been great. Frederick Vogel, the Commercial Theater Institute. And now, as promised, once again from the 92nd Street Y, I'll tell you, we've heard these guys sing at the beginning of the show, the middle of the show. Now coming up once again, another tremendous performer. The show is called Cabaret Nights, Boys Night Out, the 92nd Street Y, Saturday, February 25th at 8 p.m. and just give a shout over to the 92nd Street Y if you're interested in getting tickets. And as promised, Tom Anderson is here. Dick Gallagher is at the piano, and they're going to close out our show. But before he does, let me just give our closing credits so we know who's been fooling around here on the Broadway Hour. And just to let you know that you have been listening to the Broadway Hour here on 93 WPAT. Thanks to our guest, Helen Reddy, now starring in Blood Brothers. Barbara Feldman, who's performing in Love for Better and Verse. Philip Officer, Tom Anderson, David Stoller, and Peter Ligety. Catch the Boys Night Out at the 92nd Street Y. And Frederick Vogel of the Commercial Theater Institute. Coming up next week, Ken Howard, Maxwell Caulfield, the unabridged Shakespeare players, and many, many more exciting bits and pieces about the news of Broadway. I'd like to thank our sponsor, the Sheraton New York Hotel and Towers. Thanks to our producer, Kate McGrath, and our engineer, Chris Breedfeldt, the technicians at Projection Video and Audio, and the folks at Sabine Electronics and Triton Galleries. Now, we'd like you to know we're going to go right to the final performer of the show. Once again, we can't plug it enough because we like these guys. The 92nd Street Y, Saturday, February 25th. The program is called Boys Night Out. And take it away.
Why do I just wither and forget all resistance when you and your magic pass by? My heart's in a dither dear when you're at a distance, but when you are near, it's not the pale moon that excites me, that thrills and delights me. Oh no, it's just the nearness of you. It isn't your sweet conversation that brings this sensation. Oh no, it's just the nearness of you. When you're in my arms and I feel you so close to me, all my wildest dreams come true. I need no soft lights to enchant me if you only grant me the right to hold you ever so tight, and to feel in the night the
is Tom Anderson, Dick Gallagher at the piano. And if we cannot plug it enough, so we'll plug it one more time, the 92nd Street Y. Tom, we're told that if we act real nice and act a little contrite, perhaps you might be able to sing another one for us. But how about this? Could you do it? Yes?
I'd love to.
Oh, God bless you.
Yeah.
Listen to me, I have beautiful dreams I can spin you. Dreams to linger within you. Close your eyes and we'll ride my carousel. I'll sing you stories of lovers whose love used to fill me, and the lovers who will be. For you see, love is one thing I do well. Come, let's believe love can be just as sweet as it seems. Let's live on dreams. In my dreams, such beautiful lovers have found me. Storybook lovers surround me. Nothing is real, but I'm flying, sighing. Where is my storybook ending? Why does my golden pretending leave me with nothing to hold but my dreams? Oh, is it only in dreams that we find our ideal love? Are there lovers with real love? If you know how to feel love, show me. Oh, but my dear, if you can't be as sweet as you seem, I'd rather dream. In my dream, such beautiful lovers have found me. Storybook lovers around me. Show me the way to stop dreaming. There is only one perfect storybook ending. That is the end of pretending. Only the moment I say, stop dreaming. There is only one perfect storybook ending. That is the end of pretending. That is the moment I say, love.
Dick Gallagher. That is Tom Anderson, Dick Gallagher on the piano. And I just want to read you a little quote here from my colleague Howard Kissel at the Daily News. Quote, disarming good looks, an ingenuous manner, and meltingly beautiful voice. He makes you realize why cabaret is so special. And that's what Howard had to say about Tom Anderson. Tom, thanks so much. Again, Peter Ligety has brought all these guys together. How do you find talent like this? Do you go out and scout for them? Where they come from?
Well, I think a lot of it. It's at a certain level to begin with. It isn't that I go and I discover the brand new people. I'm really, most of the people that I'm associated with are pretty much the vets, and or the just breaking through their, like Tom and Philip Officer, Jeff Harner, Stoller, David Stoller, all have new albums. So I'm already privy pretty much from the record companies, and I know they're just about to break through and go up to the next level and right up there with the top people.
All right. And now what do you do to move their careers along? Because you're also into artist management as well as booking the show. How do you get them to the next level?
Well, we have about 180 theaters mm-hmm. across the country that we are actively involved in. And that means that we sell artists to their subscription series, but we also co-produce. The best entry level for the cabaret is generally with a co-production. So mm-hmm. we take certain risk, the theater takes certain risk, because they're not, this is new for them.
Yeah.
Cabaret in a theater is a new theatrical option. It's not new in terms of the nightclub business, but it's new in terms of the theater and the traditional theater audience. And what we've found is that if we take this option and we put it into a typical 8-show-a-week environment, that there's a huge middle America audience that is embracing it and loving it. And we're just slowly rolling it out across the country.
Oh, all right.
That's pretty much it.
And just one last question. How do you break in? Let's say I decided that I'm going to give up my job at the news and become a cabaret singer. But after the people stop laughing, then what do I do next?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, generally what will happen is the agents pitch me, other managers pitch me, because not only are we a management agency, but mm-hmm. we're also the buyers, we're the actual buyer, and we're also producers. So they'll go to some of the showcase clubs around town, and mm-hmm.
they'll call me
until finally I come.
All right.
And other agents and managers as well.
All right. You heard it right there from the horse's mouth. Peter Leggety, artist. Artist management again at the 92nd Street Y. If you want to hear Tom Anderson, if you want to hear Jeff Harner, Philip Officer, and David Stoller, they'll all be there on February 25th. So thanks once again for joining us here. Thanks to our guest.
Thanks
and come
so
on back
much.
To the Broadway Hour next week here on AM 93 WPAT.